Hey, Industrial Talk is brought to you by Cap Logistics. You want to minimize downtime? Absolutely. Increase reliability? You bet. Ensure operational profitability? Yes, you do. That means you need 24/7, 365 insights into your supply chain. Look no further. Cap Logistics. Go to caplogistics.com or just call them. They're great people. 800-227-2471. Change is happening, and Deloitte is your partner. Deloitte's U.S. and global network. They always deliver measurable, sustainable results for clients and communities. It's important to have a partner like Deloitte in your corner to manage and help you through this change. Find out more. Go to Deloitte.com.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hi there, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for joining the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates industry heroes such as yourself. I'm pointing at you over the video. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly. Every day you're solving problems, you're changing lives, and you're changing the world as we speak this very moment. That's why we celebrate you. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. All right, in the hot seat, we have Shelly Arnoff. Now, the company is called Inner Planet. And this is an incredible conversation. And I'm not going to do it justice, quite frankly. And you'll realize that she's much smarter than me. Big time. Big time. All right, let's get cracking. I'm so geeked on the future. Just absolutely geeked on the future because of companies like Inner Planet and people like Shelly blazing the trail. I'm telling you, it's exciting. No doubt about it. Big time. All right, a couple of things that I want to be putting on your calendar. You got to go and look at IoT Solutions World Congress. That's an event. And it is in Barcelona. And Europe is opening up. And that's a great thing, right? It's a great thing. And this event, they're really focused in on creating real quality contacts, quality leads, very ecosystem focused. And so it's a good event. You're not going to be disappointed. So that is, I want to say, the mid part of May, but just go out to IoT Solutions World Congress for additional information. But I'm just telling you, I've been there a number of times, and every time has been absolutely spectacular. And, we got to get back to normal. And whatever that is, I just want to start living life. I want to begin, working with more companies face-to-face. Let's just get going. Let's not hesitate. Let's make that happen. The other thing. So I've been noodling on the concept or the principle of getting the most out of, right? .. Whatever that might be, getting the most out of conferences, getting the most out of my social content, whatever, getting the most out of and actually having that thought process of what can be done. What can be done to improve every aspect? Because the reality is, me personally, I love the technology. I love the solutions that are being bantered back and forth out there that make our future absolutely wonderful and exciting and our lives better. But the reality is if we don't do a better job at selling, right, whatever that strategy might be, we in essence fail to achieve what we need to achieve. And that's the same thing with marketing. And, of course, they're hand in hand. From my perspective, they're hand in hand. And one, marketing supporting sales, sales supporting marketing. It's important. And so I've been noodling on that concept of getting the most out of, like getting the most out of conferences. For me, my approach with clients have been, all right, we got a list out there. The list is, all of these wonderful speakers. spot on. Great topics. And talk about needed, right? Talk about today's focus. Those topics reflect today's challenges. No doubt about it. Don't argue with me. But the reality is that what I can do is when I broadcast from the conferences, I'll take all of that because my focus is being able to highlight these professionals as much as I possibly can and deliver the content that you need to be successful. So I highlight these. And this is just a simple one of many approaches. So I take it. I'll say, Joe Blow, IoT, whatever. Suzy Q, cybersecurity, whatever. Anyway, they have a topic and they're speaking on that topic. And normally at these events, it's a topic. They speak about it. And then they head on out or wherever they go. And there's a lack of amplification of that particular topic. So why not? Take the list of the speakers. Take the list of all of the topics that are being communicated. Be able to say, all right, you've spoke about it. You're warm and fuzzy. You've got that presentation all down pat. Let's get on the podcast, broadcasting from the event, and create that relationship. That's a big deal. That is a conference, I call it conference 2.0. Whatever, I have no other else topic to call it, but I truly believe that the media platform at Industrial Talk can get the most out of conferences, get the most out of your engagements, get the most out of your prospects. And there are ways of being able to do that and the ways of being able to leverage that. It's all out there, and it's important. It's important for me, and it's important for the communities, people, that you succeed. And this platform, once again, is dedicated solely for the fact that you need to succeed. And whatever that means. Can't operate in a vacuum. You need to be a part of an ecosystem. An ecosystem that is truly focused on solving problems. Problems for the manufacturers. Problems for oil and gas. Problems, blah, blah. And solving those problems. If we're really committed to that, there's no stopping. So noodle on that. Are you getting the most out of ... Have that internal conversation either with your team or inside your heart, whatever it might be, and be real about it. There's no pointing of fingers, man. No pointing of fingers. Okay, let's get cracking. Interplanet is the company. Shelley is the founder and CEO. And it's a way of being able to, the tools, and this is again, I look at things that are non-negotiable, and I think education is a non-negotiable. We got to do everything we can to educate the best we possibly can. Food is a non-negotiable. Water is a non-negotiable. I think even power is a non-negotiable. And we've got to satisfy that so that everybody has access. We can do other non-negotiables, but you get the picture. We've got to do everything we can through innovation, through people, through education, all of that stuff to be able to provide these non-negotiables to as many people around the world, right? We do. So here's Shelley. Interplanet is the company. They're able to begin the genetic modification of these seeds, of seeds to be able to, and it's way above my pay grade, don't get me wrong, but it is cool stuff. So these plants have the ability to communicate through a release, through whatever the mechanism is that plants have to say, hey, I need water. Hey, I'm being there's an infestation going on. But anyway, it allows you, through the use of satellites, looking down and say, hey, this section of your acreage needs this. This section needs that. And be able to do that on a real-time basis, and be able to, for farmers, for people who feed us, to deploy and to do the things that they need to do to be able to increase yield, great insights. I'm telling you, man, it's cool stuff. All right. And I guarantee you, I butchered it. Please don't send me a text saying, Scott, you butchered it, because I guarantee you, I did. Shelley won't. I'm just sort of the guy that's trying to absorb the knowledge. So enjoy this conversation with Shelley. Shelley, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule and being very flexible. Listeners, I had to cancel on her, and I was very upset about the whole thing, but she was so gracious and kind. Thank you for being on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks, Scott. This is actually a better time, so I'm happy to cancel.
Listeners, we're going to be talking something a little unique, but it's very important. I think that it is in part of industry. It touches industry. It touches everybody's life, and that's really food. And Shelley comes from the perspective of mad skills. And instead of listening to me talking about her mad skills, Shelley, tell us why you're such an incredible professional with mad skills.
Scott, so starting with my history, I guess not. I'm from Israel. I have to start that, even though it's usually not interesting where you're born, but I think Israel is a big part of why I am who I am. Studied industrial engineering, got my MBA at Stanford, moved to the U.S., started a couple of companies. So really always was really interested in starting something new, having control over it, and being able to, you know, create something of value. But always did things that were smaller than Interplant. Probably just didn't have the confidence back then. And then about 5 years ago, my daughter was born, my first daughter. And I just woke up and said, nah, life is too short to do something that doesn't matter. And that's really the path to Interplant. So food and agriculture are a space where is a space that is currently in need of new technology and transformational technologies, exactly what we're bringing to market. And, you know, I don't know if you're asking what makes for, in my opinion, what makes for a successful startup in the space is identifying the right business opportunity, the right timing to take advantage of the opportunity, which is what my background brings. And then I have a great co-founder who's the molecular biology that can say, okay, we can make plants that communicate. This is how we do the biology part of it. But I bring the business aspect more.
See, this is interesting. From my perspective, I have the Scotch hierarchy of industrial needs. I just threw that out. Yes, you can run with it. However, it starts at the bottom, and at the bottom are things that are, from my perspective, are non-negotiable. And how does technology, how does innovation impact those non-negotiable ones? And one is, of course, water, education, medicine, food, and how does technology help us globally benefit? And I think that that's why this particular conversation is so interesting, because you're really talking about, and food's big, don't get me wrong, food's huge. We're talking about what you're doing from your perspective. Can you sort of, from a listener's perspective, what is Interplant, the company? What are you doing? What problems are you solving?
So Interplant is, at the core of what we do is we are redesigning crops with a new concept, and that concept is enabling crops to talk in the simplest form, enabling them to tell us what they need when they need it. And the key and the reason for that to be important is because we just don't know what crops need today. So in our farm system that's been around for a very long time, we have a lot of tools, pesticides, fertilizers, machinery, but we just work around the crops. And the way that we end up doing it is instead of understanding what they need and giving them what they need, we over apply and risk mitigate and do a lot of insurance. And all that is costing farmers money. It's ruining the soils. It's ruining our natural resources. So the idea is in the future, we'll have crops that can communicate and we can optimize really at the individual plant level what it is we're doing in farming.
So correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm a crop,
yeah,
and a good looking crop that is.
You work just like a crop, by the way.
But you're right, and I like the thinking, because now you're saying, okay, if we can get crops to communicate what they need, that means real optimization. Just like me, I need to eat, or I need, and then you're able to optimize your spend, optimize what you apply everything, right, and would imagine optimize yield as well.
Yeah. You know, here, I'll give you like a total out of left field, but if you have children, a toddler cannot tell you when they're hungry, right? And they cannot tell you if they're going to eat what you're giving them. So you just throw food at them. A lot of it goes to waste. Once you're an adult, you know when you're hungry, and ideally you just eat when you need to eat. Crops are like the toddlers. We don't know what they want, so we just throw food at them, and we throw pesticides at them, and we throw stuff at them. And most of it goes to waste, and some of it actually does the job of protecting them, nurturing them, and so on. So this is kind of the simplest analogy.
So really, you're talking about taking the seed. You have to start there. The seeds today don't communicate, right? They just so you need to work at that level. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? I mean, I'm really, for the listeners and for me, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed or in the drawer. How does one begin to do that? And why is that important? Why do we need to go there? I understand, but why? How do we do this?
So I'm happy to start with the why, by the way, and then go into the how. And the how is going to be technical, but I'm promising you everyone's going to get it. The why is just so we know what it looks like today. And I think this is part of what's important is people need to understand how farming works today, because who knows how farming worked. What we do is we either over-apply or we misapply inputs.
Say that again. It sort of broke up. Say that again. We what?
We misapply or we over-apply. Uh-huh. So nutrients, fertilizers, we over-apply. Why? Because it's safer to just have too much rather than have a deficiency. So we over-apply because we just don't know what the plants need. And with pesticides, we misapply, meaning we just don't know if there's a pathogen. We don't know if there's a fungal disease or something like that in the field. So we spray fungicides anyways, everywhere, with the hope that we caught something and that there's going to be less yield loss at the end of the season. But what's really interesting is that we use more and more pesticides, and we've specifically over the last 5 years have been using more, and we still lose the same yields to pathogen every year, around 20% on average. So we use more of the tools that we have, we don't get better results. And the key to changing that equation is you need to know where to apply, what to apply. You need the timing. You need the crops to tell you. So that's really the why we do what we do.
See, and we don't know that. The masses don't know
Fair.
That.
Fair,
and why is that the case? That we're sort of misapplying, overapplying, whatever, from a pesticides perspective, we're still seeing the same whatever. What's happening with that technology, with that pesticide? What's happening? I don't understand.
Why do we misapply? It's impossible to see this. You can't
But you're saying that there's still 20%, right?
Right.
And nothing's changed. So right. We still just throw a bunch of pesticide, but nothing changes as a result of that.
Yeah, it's all about risk mitigation.
Huh.
So the cost of doing nothing is very, very high.
Yeah.
The cost of doing something is, I don't know, $7 an acre. And the reality is that there's a lot of fear. You don't want to miss that disease that's going to get you an entire field lost. So you do this to prevent that from happening. It's just, it's hard to farm because the scale of farming is really large. And it's impossible to see what's going out there, right? I like to joke with people when they try to like explain how it's going to be in the future. Why is it so much better than today? And then I tell them, where are you?
Well, I'm in Louisiana.
Right,
so let's say sugar cane, baby.
No, not Louisiana. You're in New Orleans. I was just
talking. Okay, I'm in New Orleans.
We're there, right? So New Orleans is a city, and that city is probably the size of an average farm. And imagine if I were to tell you, you've got to tell me where in the city there's currently a leak or a problem. That's basically what farming is like.
Wow, it's that's a great
massive.
Analogy. Yeah.
So without the right technology, there's no way you can find something on time. So what we do is we take it back to the scale of what they need to do, which is just apply everywhere, apply in advance, mitigate risk. That's the key to everything, mitigate risk. But technology can help solve that. It's just the next iteration of what we need to do.
That's a sobering statement. Because we take, again, I go to the store, I grab my fruits and vegetables that I want, and then I'm beetle on my way, and I don't even give it a second thought. And then the reality, when you bring it down to the fact that, hey, a farm is like, that's a, could be a, considered a small farm. And you're right. I can't visually see what's happening in the city. The same thing exists out there in the farm.
Yeah.
So let's venture into that. So clearly we need a solution. We need insights into the health of that crop. And your approach of having the crops communicate their need sounds cool. Now, what does something like that take?
Okay, yeah. So now let's get to the technicalities of it, right? What we need is four things. We need a scalable, affordable way to find the right problems at the right time, specific problems at the right time. And the right time is time to prevent damage. What we do is we do that at the plant level. That gives you the scalable, affordable way to find problems early. So I'll explain what it is that we do exactly. All plants have an immune system reaction that they activate when they're under stress. And that's...
Hold it. I want to make sure this is clear. Plants have that already.
Yeah, they've had that always. And, you know, the reason that they have a very developed system to protect themselves is because they're immobile. So they need to find a way to shut things out or to produce hormones or to do things that are going to protect them from the things that are trying to kill them or drowning them or, you know, all the problems. So what actually happens on the biological level as they're reacting is that there is a change on the biological level, not something that we can see, but something that's experienced by the plant. This up until now is well known. So people have been studying this for a very long time, and we understand what those sequences that are activated are. What we do is we recode the crop's DNA. So this is something, a line of code in the seed, so that as it's reacting to that stress, let's say it's fungal pressure, it's also going to start generating a protein in its leaves that creates the fluorescent signal. So let me break it down, okay? Let's say there's a fungal infestation in the field. The plant starts to feel attack. It's going to start reacting to that attack. And in addition to that, it's going to start creating that protein in its leaves that it doesn't know how to do otherwise. And that protein creates an optical signal that we can then see from as far as solid imagery. So we're basically creating a new signal as a reaction to that stress that we coded, so we know exactly what it means. And then we collect that signal from satellite imagery to make it affordable. That's the last part. And tell the farmers, okay, there's an infestation of fungus over there. And the reason we know is because now we can see some optical signal that doesn't otherwise exist. And we know what it means because we created that.
Are you modifying the crop, the seed, in such a way that somebody will have a conniption fit? Genetically modify it, you know, whatever. Yeah. Are you doing that? Is that?
Yeah. We're genetically engineering the crops. That's exactly what we're doing.
Okay. Now
that's a new line of crop of code. Yeah.
Okay. So now I have a crop that sends out a signal. What technology are you using to capture that stress signal from the plant? I mean,
how can we see it?
How can you see it? I mean, if I'd shut this down and I start screaming your name, you won't be able to hear me, but I'm screaming your name, but you won't be able, because I want to know how you can see that.
Yeah.
Now you know. Okay.
So we can see this from anything from an iPhone with a filter to a sensor on a tractor to a drone. And obviously the exciting part is the satellite, because we talked about the scalability of farming. Some farms are 100,000 acres. So you need satellite imagery to be able to cover everything at in a low cost. And we can use anything as basic as a spectrometer, which I'm assuming most people don't know, but it's a very basic optical equipment that doesn't even have imagery. But if you want to know how we can see the signals, because that's really the cool physics trick, we make very small signals. So the signals are tiny, tiny amounts of protein, which is key because you don't want the plants to be doing anything except for what they need to do, right? So small proteins are good. The reason we can see them is because the new light that we're creating, and it's not something you can see by eye, it's a new light. It's just very different than the sunlight. So spectrally, it just looks different. And that's the reason we can then identify that out of the rest of the light, because the rest of the light looks exactly like the sunlight, which is very spectrally resolved. And then the new light looks different.
Okay. I'm going to try to summarize what you just said, which is pretty doggone cool. So there's technology that is able from a spectral light, right? Perspective. And you can have a device, because somebody's going to always go down to this iPhone, this device, and all the other devices to be able to see that, right? And that device can be on an iPhone, it can be on a tractor, it can be on whatever it is, all the way up to a satellite, right? Yep. And be able to look down and see that spectral image that says, hey, I'm okay, nothing's going on. Oh, I'm not feeling well. And then that information, that data, goes where?
So that data will go into the existing platforms in the field. We made that decision that the best way to deliver the data to farmers is through everything they already have in the field, because there's so many platforms. In every tractor, there's usually 6 monitors. We want to be in all monitors. And then there's at least 15 platforms that have coverage of a lot of acres. So for example, if you think about a tractor company, they're already in the business of having a really sophisticated data platform that helps the farmers do everything they need to do. We want to then ingest a new data set and help them look at all of the different possibilities that this opens up. So better fungal detection, and then better applications of fungicides, insects, nutrients, and so on.
So, which is interesting. I'm following you. Now, the data that is collected on a specific portion of the field, whatever it might be, is enough to say, hey, I don't have a fungus problem. I just have a nutrient problem. I don't have a nutrient. I might have a bug problem, whatever it might be. It gives you that specific detail, doesn't it? And then it says, hey, give me some fungicide over here. It's in this area. Use X amount.
Yep, exactly. Then it's actionable recommendations, right?
Yeah. See, that's
or if it's going to rain tomorrow, maybe don't go out, right? So you incorporate additional.
But you're going to incorporate that anyway. You're going to say, exactly. Hey, there it is. Some weather coming in. I don't think we're fine. Yeah. Let's just do it. And then we can still, because you're constantly looking at it, because you've got the communications happening, so you can always see what's happening.
Yeah. And now let me really blow your mind.
I'm blown already. Try to make it happen.
So cool. So let's say something changes and for some reason we see fungal pressure and then it goes away. The signals will also go away. So you can think about it in two ways. One is just maybe the weather conditions changed and it dried up and the fungal infestation just vanished. And then you don't have to do anything. So that's one way to look at it. The other one is, let's say you did put a fungicide out there and it did not work. You're going to know that as well, because the signal will still come up instead of going away. So this is a really cool thing, because we never had that way to verify if anything works in ag. You put it out there and then you just don't know if there was any value.
And the
loop is really long. And then eventually the combine goes through the field, they harvest. And if the harvest numbers are high, then they're hoping that all the things they did throughout the season worked. But that's how it works.
So you see, that's pretty cool. So you get real time, to a certain extent, real time feedback on whether your application has been effective and not.
Right.
And if it hasn't, then you've got to think on, now what do I do? How do I, my plants are still stressed.
Right.
So what do I do?
And what do I use? That didn't work. We need to do something else.
And then you compress that time, as opposed to not knowing, over applying. You don't have any clue. And you just hope by the end of the season, when you start to harvest, that you can. You do okay.
That's, and then when you harvest, great, maybe you have good results, but was it because of the fungicides? Was it because of the insecticides, the herbicides, the nutrients, the weather? God knows, right? It's many, many things.
Does the technology, the communication capability, give you a broad spectrum, right? Just sort of a broad spectrum. Like red's bad. Well, here's yellow. Here's, you know, whatever, you get the point. Does it have that, or is it just like on or off? Like bad, something's happening.
Yeah. I don't know yet. There's likely going to be more generation of protein as the problems get worse. But I think the way we prefer to think about it is not on the individual plant level, but more, I mean, at the scale that we farm, and especially focusing on pathogens, which is what we focus on, so fungal pressure, insect pressure, what you want to do is look at how is the area evolving? Because you're not looking for patient zero, but you want to understand 10 acres worth or 100 acres worth. And then see, is it expanding? Is it expanding fast? This is really what's going to give you the indication of, is it really going to be a problem? Or is it maybe a fungal disease that's kind of staying localized and you don't need to do anything about it? It's just going to stay there, right? So you get all that information and we think about it more about the density of the spread than the individual plant level.
Yeah, and over time, let's say over time, you begin to develop that insight into the dynamics of your acreage. It's like, this is always sort of prone to this, and absolutely. This is sort of prone to that. And,
absolutely.
And then and you could just sort of play that game too and validate. And eventually, I mean, I could even see, if I see that this portion of my field is struggling in some way, shape, or form, I can create a strategy around that to help mitigate it for next year or the year after that. I say, oh, look at that.
Or you can just not plant that area, there's some areas that are just not worth planting, right? So that's a choice. So, if you know that you're going to struggle there and still not get good yield.
Yeah. So it's all great. It's all good. You had me at, I don't know, inner plant.
You can take it one level.
You can do it. I mean, you got me.
I'll give you one more level, though, before.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So the other thing is that we know very little about how diseases spread, because it's impossible to track fungal disease, for example, the miniature spores.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you think about having a technology that can do all the things we talked about, right, like identifying early, identifying the spread, identify the remedy if it goes away, and then you do that over hundreds of millions of acres, you can start to develop prediction models for pathogens. Right, in the times of COVID, it's nice to think about how that plays out, because once it's out there, it's really hard to scale it back. You want to have predictive models.
I can see if I was a data analytic guy, and I love data, you could start pulling in different pieces of data at not just at that level. You could say, what's the temperature? How much rainfall? But you could just start pulling all of these other factors, these variables, and create a predictive type of model that says, hey, it's going to, this is sort of where we're at right now. Be careful. It's going to, you know, and be able to predict that. Yeah, see,
that's exactly, it's basically. Okay.
So I'm a farmer. It gives me greater insights. Does it save me money?
So our approach is actually replacing P&L costs for the farmers. That's the reason we went after the seed, because farmers don't need to spend more money right now. It's hard to make good margins as a farmer every year.
It is. God. It's a rough sport, man. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. And this year is going to be interestingly really bad, because there is no fertilizers, there's no herbicides, and the prices are going up. So this is going to be a really
Wow. That's true. Son of
So this year is going to be interesting. But point is, there's already quite a lot of cost structures in what farmers spend. The question, and this is my approach to anyone building a business in general, I think it's a good approach, but in ag specifically, figure out what costs you can replace instead of trying to add another cost, because obviously that reduces the barriers to entry.
Yeah.
So that's our approach. We're redoing the entire seed technology in the seed so that we can replace that cost, which is actually a really high cost breaker, and then offer farmers what we like to refer to as intelligent or smart seed that have all the functionality of their seeds plus more. The additional value that they get to keep. But every year it's going to be different. So that's why we don't want to get into the business of promising any specific value. In general, they'll have less risk. They'll have better visibility into their field. They can optimize their input use, and they can increase their yields because they can resolve pathogens earlier. So all those things are going to be benefits, and all those benefits they keep.
See, I like that. I like that. Now, I've got to be the that naysayer out there. Who What's the roadblocks? Why wouldn't people want to embrace this? What pushbacks are you receiving?
Farmers?
Anybody. I mean, why? Because it makes sense. Are you getting feedback that's like, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't think that's right. Or is it just 100% home run?
There's a lot of excitement. I think one of the things that makes it easier, like the challenges, if you're asking, is it takes time. Biotech traits take time to develop, takes time to take to market. You need to work within a partnership structure. So those are the challenges. But, you know, once you get through it, so we now know how to make the traits, we have our roadmap, we have the partnerships we need to get started. And the regulatory process is getting much easier. So that was really helpful for us, right? Once you get through those, the excitement is really high. And one of the things that keeps me very motivated is that everyone seems to really like the concept. Talk to a farmer, they're going to like the concept. Talk to an independent seed company, they want to see us exist. Talk to a tractor manufacturer or a seed retailer. In reality, everyone's
I'll tell you who's not happy. I'm telling you who's not happy. Those fertilizer people, because you're going to be optimizing the application of fertilizers, and you're going to be happy, and the fungicide and the pesticide folks, they're not going to like it.
Well, that's a tough statement. I don't know.
Come on, and you're not going to. What you're saying is that hey, here's a seed that's going to be able to communicate its problems, and then you're going to be able to apply the right amount of pesticide, the right amount of fungicide, the right amount of fertilizer at the right place at the right time. And for the farmer, it's like, great, thank you. I don't have to just sort of, you know, do this whole, yeah, okay, but that's okay. I don't care what they think. I don't.
Well, I think they're also trying to move away from their model. So I think they're moving to something that is more of an integrated acre, where they kind of give a farmer, this is the yield you're going to get, and we're going to give you all the products that you need to get there. And it's one price point for the farmer. So whether it's good or bad for the farmer, this is the world that the agrochemicals are going towards. Within that world, actually optimizing the inputs is beneficial for them, right? Because they can make more money if they sell less product versus more. So maybe this is not going to be an issue for them.
Okay. Well, we'll shelve that. But I got to tell you, man, it's pretty cool. Now I understand. Okay. One last question, because I can continue on and on and on. How does somebody begin to mass produce a seed that you have modified to be able to communicate? That's a tough one. I can't see it. How do you do that?
How do you do that? Yeah. Well, so that's actually not something that we will do. There's just a whole infrastructure that knows how to do that. I can tell you in the nutshell, it's not super fascinating, to be honest. It's just propagating seeds. So the way that you get technology into seed is that you breed it in. That's literally taking one seed with the technology, one seed that's just good seeds, and crossing them. And you do that several times, and then you get the good genetics and the traits are in there. And then you have your master seed, if you will, and then you start propagating that. And you do that in a very structured environment. So you can do it in a greenhouse and get a lot of seeds. And then that's how you propagate more and more seeds. And it's an exponential thing. Once you have, but there's a whole world that does that as a service.
Thank God there's a whole world.
Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have enough seeds. Yeah.
No. All right. This was a great conversation. I enjoyed it one heck of a lot, Shelley. How does people get a hold of you?
So let's see. Our Innerplant website or LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. I think we're everywhere at this point. But just reach out. Or you can email us at hello@innerplant.com, and that will get you.
Of course you have a hello one. I have just info. I should change it to hello now.
I don't know. Yeah, but we have hello. We probably have a few other ones. Or you can just find me on LinkedIn too.
All right.
That's pretty available to people.
All right, listeners, that's Shelley. Innerplant is the company. Innerplant, which is pretty doggone cool name. I like it. And you need to get a hold of her. If you're a farmer, if you're in that business, if you're in the ag world, you need to have a conversation with Shelley. Hey, Shelley, you were great.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Yeah. Clearly, you're smarter than I am, which I'd like to say that that's a big accomplishment.
You're pretty smart. I'm not sure.
I don't know about that, man. That's what you're talking about is pretty cool. I really appreciate what your passion, because I think food, water, education, all of those things are just those non-negotiable, and you're in the fight, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. You're going to have all the contact information for Shelley and then some, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, a big hearty thank you to Shelley. You know, that was I want to say 10 out of 10 hard hat extravaganza. She nailed it. And that's why the future's bright. It's people like Shelley and others who are really making a difference. Non-negotiables. These are non-negotiable things. We need food, yes. We need power, yes. We need water, definitely. We need education. Non-negotiable. Shelley's part of the solution. Absolutely wonderful. An absolute honor to be on the Industrial Talk. You're going to have all the contact information if you want to reach out at Industrial Talk Show. All right. Are you getting the most out of ... Challenge yourself this week. Ask that question. And really have a heart-to-heart about whether you are. If not, just ask me. I'll help you out. Not a big deal. Industrial Talk, reach out to me. All right, be bold, be brave. Dare greatly every day. Hang out with people like Shelley, and you're going to change the world. We're going to have another great conversation right around the corner, so stay tuned.